are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. You know we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl.
Good afternoon. You are tuned into KDNK Community Access Radio, and this is Chemical World. I am your host, Maggie, aka Muggsy Faye Seldine, founder and director of High Rockies Harm Reduction and KDNK board member, here today for another exciting episode where we talk about all things substance related and the interrelated processes of mental health issues and how these problems or just trials can lead to problematic substance use, and what we at High Rockies Harm Reduction are here to do to help and support those struggling and their affected friends and family. It is 11/11, Monday, November 11th. I am pre-recording this episode on Tuesday, November 5th, Election Day, which I had mixed feelings about. Like, maybe I should wait until tomorrow to pre-record this episode because I have no idea what political climate you, the listener, are living in this moment. But it's probably for the best that I am not recording until the election results are all in. We have a lot of exciting stuff. Of course, our presidential campaign for 2024, as well as some county commissioner races in Garfield County that are pretty interesting and exciting, and a lot of really cool amendments on the ballot this year. But as the director of a nonprofit program, the only thing I cannot do is condemn or condone specific political candidates, but I can talk about policy. So again, probably better that I'm pre-recording this on Election Day so that I can't inadvertently put my opinions on candidates into this episode, but I can talk about policy. There are some interesting things, or there were some interesting things on this year's ballot in terms of mental health, a tax increase to support mental health services for Coloradans, but not too much exciting on our actual November ballot, but there have been some pretty exciting legislative changes and just some interesting things going on in the world of policy and politics as it pertains to harm reduction. So it's going to be a bit of a dry show, if you will, today. Perfect for the drive home. Just let my soothing sounds serenade you as you are learning about policy. We are, of course, hoping to have some more folks back with us in the studio on our December episode, but doing what we can to keep the show going while our folks take care of themselves. So as the year winds down, I thought we could kind of take a look at some things we've likely been talking about on the show this year, but really where we've been, where we are, and where we are going. Legislative sessions happen every year in the spring, and I work with a organization called the Colorado Consortium for Prescription Drug Abuse Prevention that does a lot of amazing work, including lobbying for policies that support people in recovery, people in active drug use, and people experiencing mental health challenges. So pretty much every spring, we bring a handful of bills to Capitol Hill and do what we can to pass legislation to support our folks and the work that we do. So there was some really, really cool changes that happened this year. Of course, there's always unintended consequences. There's always pros and cons to pretty much everything in life. Some great progress that's been made, but of course there are always setbacks. It's always something, but three steps forward, two steps back is still one step forward. Keep that in mind wherever you are on this beautiful mid-November day. And we are super pleased to see a lot of progressive change happening. And, you know, at High Rockies Harm Reduction and with harm reduction in general, it's all about any positive incremental change, any little bit that gets us to where we want to be. Of course, we're not going to be there today, but we're working towards it all the time. So specifically, there were some cool harm reduction bills that passed this year. I know I have spoken before about some of the paraphernalia law changes, and this is a really interesting one, and it's pretty specific. And, you know, like with most laws, you could read the whole bill and maybe still not know for sure what it's actually saying or what it's doing. So there was a big harm reduction bill that was passed at the state earlier this spring, and it does a lot of things. But the things that we are most excited about is allowing harm reduction and syringe service programs to legally possess substances, illicit substances, for the means of testing them. At High Rockies, we do provide free fentanyl and xylazine test strips. These are a little bit of a wonky tool, but I like to say it's kind of like condoms when it comes to drug checking. We'd love to, you know, use these tools as an opportunity to talk more and educate ourselves and community members. And I'd like it to get to the point where if you're not checking your drugs, you at least know you should be, right? Like, we all know that condoms protect us from STIs and unwanted pregnancies and are a valuable tool. And sometimes we maybe don't use them as we should. Same with drug checking. We do have tools out there. They are not 100% effective. Nothing is. But just to even be thinking about contamination and the illicit drug supply is super important, especially as we continue to see report after report, bust after bust of drugs, specifically stimulants like cocaine, methamphetamine, and MDMA that, you know, you would never expect to lead to an opiate overdose, but seeing these drugs frequently contaminated with fentanyl, we want to get that information out there, because I think the number one thing I hear at work is, I don't need Narcan, I don't know anyone who uses drugs. And we all have a weird way of compartmentalizing mentally what it means to use drugs. I think when people say, I don't need that, I don't use drugs, they tend to think like, well, I'm not injecting heroin, right? But there is a huge, huge broad world of drug use outside of just injecting opiates that you know and believe to be opiates. There are prescription opiates that are still commonly prescribed for acute surgeries and injuries, and Narcan can reverse overdoses from these substances. And we are seeing, you know, potential contamination from opiates in everything else. So if you use ecstasy once a year or once every few years, or if you hang out with people at concerts, at restaurants, out in the community who may be using cocaine, you know, it is important and a really, really great first aid strategy to have Narcan and know how to use it and be prepared to use it. Even just knowing that you can call 911 and there are folks who will respond with Narcan, and there are laws in Colorado that protect you from getting in trouble for drug possession, paraphernalia possession, any of those charges. If you call 911 and stay with a person to support them, you don't necessarily have to be the one to provide the first aid, but just knowing that this antidote to America's most common poisoning and the leading cause of death for Americans between the ages of 15 to 45 for the past couple years, you know, this is a big deal. I talk about this a lot because I've lost friends, I've lost family members, because I didn't know that if I called 911 that A, they would help me and I wouldn't get in trouble, and B, that they had something that could help, right? So I digress. I'm going a little all over the place today, as I am wont to do. But going back to the ability for us to now legally possess drugs for means of drug checking, that's super important to us. The test strips are a tool and a resource that we gladly provide, but, you know, they do have some things that we would like to see work a little bit better. So we are working on acquiring better drug checking technology. This is also like the number one thing that we hear out in the community, is folks want to know what they're using and they want to know what's in it. And if it doesn't have fentanyl in it, great. But still, what the heck is it? When we're talking about illicit drugs, which includes anything we buy from any source online, we really have no idea what it is. So we're excited for that legislative change that at least gives us the legal protection to move forward with drug checking and can allow us to test drugs on site at some of our service locations. That same harm reduction bill, because yes, that's what I'm still talking about, also expanded the definition of paraphernalia for some folks. So there used to be a law in the state of Colorado that said if you were a registered participant in a program like High Rockies Harm Reduction, which all it takes is stopping by one of our locations, filling out a quick intake form, and then we give you a card. Doesn't necessarily have any identifying information, but that card protects you from paraphernalia charges if you get stopped by an officer. Previously, that law only extended to syringes, and the change to this law in the spring of 2024 now expands that to really mean any supplies, any paraphernalia that you get from a syringe service program like Hierarchy's Harm Reduction is now counted in that protection, right? So if you have a pipe, if you have foil, if you have a lighter with whatever that can be constituted as paraphernalia in the state of Colorado, if you are a registered participant with a program like ours, if you have a card, you can be protected from paraphernalia charges. So that's really exciting. You know, we're just trying to chip away at prosecuting folks for nonviolent crimes that really don't hurt anyone except for maybe themselves. And this is truly, you know, when we talk about chaotic substance use, substance abuse, addiction, the really nasty side of substance use, we're talking about a mental health condition, and we really want to connect folks to the appropriate care so that they're not causing problems for themselves and those around them. And the reality is that a lot of people, as I kind of just described a little bit ago, use substances, maybe recreationally, maybe from time to time, without developing addiction or other issues. And we want to help and protect those folks too. We believe that everyone, or at least most people, have some sort of vice. Addiction is not exclusive to illicit substances or prescription substances. And substance use does not have to, by nature, be chaotic or have a negative impact. Most people enjoy a coffee in the morning or a beer after a long, hard day, and they don't necessarily develop life-compromising or threatening addiction issues, right? So we're excited, again, for more opportunities to get this stuff out there, get the supplies out there that can save lives, that can reduce disease transmission, and that can truly just help us build rapport with people who are likely in need of support or maybe will be someday. So closing out that kind of little piece, there is a lot more in that harm reduction bill. And if you're ever interested in learning more about any of this legislation or any of these efforts, you can check out the Colorado Consortium for Prescription Drug Abuse Prevention. Super long name, but great organization doing great work. And you can also Google CDPHE harm reduction laws, and the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment has an entire page dedicated to legislation around harm reduction and recovery and all the things that we do to keep folks safe, alive, and as happy as possible. I know I talked about this, a lot of these laws already this year, but again, I think that they're really important and worth reviewing. Another super exciting, awesome law that was passed this year that was really championed by high school students down in Durango who experienced some trials and tribulations fighting their school board to allow students to carry Narcan on school premises after the loss of a fellow student a couple of years back. So the students went, they lobbied successfully at Capitol Hill, and they passed this legislation that now allows high school students all throughout Colorado to carry Narcan on their person at school. This is really, really exciting. Of course, schools themselves are also making a lot of positive movement towards this. And I want to transition to talk a little bit about Narcan access and where we're at with that today. So again, Narcan is an easy to use medication that comes in a nasal spray. It does not do anything if you are not experiencing an opioid overdose. So it's totally safe and easy for anyone to use. And there are laws in Colorado that protect you from any civil or criminal liability if you use it, even if the person you administer to turns out to not be experiencing an overdose. Again, we are losing a lot of folks all the time. Nationally, overdoses are on the decline, but here in Colorado and a lot of the western states, we are continuing to see an increase in opiate overdoses, which is kind of in line with some stories we've been hearing recently in the past year or two, really classifying the Rocky Mountain region as the suicide belt of America. This is really sad, really tragic, especially in a pretty progressive state like Colorado, where we really are champions in drug policy reform. reform and harm reduction efforts, to know that we are still experiencing a steady, although not as exponential as it was for a few years there, increase in overdose deaths. And for me, reading this information about our quote unquote suicide belt of America being, you know, Wyoming down to New Mexico, it really rings true for me. And it's finally like hearing other people saying what I've been living and knowing and experiencing my entire life. But for those who may be like, why, you know, these beautiful, ideal places, these resort communities, why would we be experiencing increases in suicide and overdose deaths in such pristine communities? Well, that's kind of the double-edged sword of resort communities. For all the people who get to enjoy the five-star dining and enjoy the five-star resorts and the skiing life and the rivers and all that, there's a lot of folks working behind the scenes to make that happen, often working intense hours, traveling long distances. And substances are a really common part of all the service industries because it's really what keeps folks going, whether that's using stimulants to stay up for a late shift or keeps folks coping, whether that's drinking at the end of a shift or after a long day or whatever that may be. And there tends to be, we saw this in a Pickens County community survey about a year or two ago, there tends to be these like more often in, you know, community numbers, these feelings of isolation. And I think a lot, or the way I interpret that is a lot of folks, you know, move here for jobs, come here seasonally to work the resorts, and they might not have family or deep roots here. It's really getting harder and harder to have roots in resort communities, you know, even all the way out to Rifle or Eagle, because it's very difficult and financially unsustainable to live here, to buy a home here, to raise a family here. So we've seen a lot of people who have lived in these communities for generations leaving for those reasons. And so a lot of folks come in and are new and may not have those roots, may not have those familial resources. And then, you know, the number one thing that's historically been a problem in our communities is we definitely have access to drugs, especially here in places like the Roaring Fork Valley, where we have the I-70 corridor and basically all of the interstate drug trafficking from the east side of the country to the west, right in our back door. We see busts from Eagle and Garfield County sheriffs along the I-70 corridor all the time of tens of tons of intense amounts of drugs, right? And then we also have higher than average opiate prescribing rates because people come here to ski, raft, hike, and, you know, partake in kind of risky activity that can often result in injury that then leads to an opiate prescription. So we have on one side the higher than average opioid prescribing rates when compared to other parts of the state. On the other side, we have drug trafficking, human trafficking, all the nasty stuff that the interstate brings in. And so we absolutely have access to drugs, the motivation to use it because of the stressful light living conditions that I just described. And then we tend to have less access to resources. I will kind of interrupt myself there to say there are a growing amount of resources in our community from Aspen to Rifle, all the way out to Leadville, from Gypsum to Silverthorne. We're really starting to see an influx in programs that are focusing on mental health, hence that amendment to increase taxes for more mental health programs, because it's honestly still not enough. But I do just want to make a quick shout out to some of the amazing organizations that exist no matter where you're at. We have the Pickens Area Co-Response Team. We have the Aspen Hope Center. We have Your Hope Center out in Eagle County, doing a lot of co-response and mental health support work and a lot of innovative programs as well. Mid Valley Family Practice in Basalt, kind of serving the whole Roaring Fork Valley, has a lot of great programs, and you can really access everything you need, a social worker, a peer, a doctor, a therapist, all in one place. Again, all of our public health departments are really doing a lot out in Leadville. Lake County Public Health is doing quite a bit. There's also Advocates for Lake County. If you or someone you know is experiencing issues with domestic violence and or housing instability, we've got some good programs out there. And then, of course, for mental health, we do have some options. If you are ever interested in learning more or you need a referral for some sort of behavioral health or substance use situation, you can always reach out to me at Maggie@HighRockiesHarmReduction.com or visit HighRockiesHarmReduction.com for more information and contact info. So just, you know, it sounds dire, but I want to make a quick plug that we do have a lot of community resources. And so going back to my little conversation about Narcan accessibility, you know, we've had some cool legislation changes this year and some cool shifts with more schools having Narcan on site, having staff and students trained, and that legislative piece allowing high school students to carry Narcan on campus. In the past year, Narcan also got approved for over-the-counter use. I want to correct myself real quick. I'm really used to saying Narcan because it's the most common brand name, but it's really like Kleenex or Jacuzzi. It is not the only thing out there. The generic name of the drug is naloxone hydrochloride, and it comes in a few different forms. So in terms of it now being over the counter, you may have noticed some end caps in your grocery stores and pharmacies that have Narcan brand naloxone for sale for $45. I know that that price still sounds pretty steep, but that is way down from the $150 that it used to be. And I have been told that you can still go to the pharmacy counter and request generic naloxone, and it might be a little cheaper. And you can also still use your insurance to cover hopefully most of the cost of that. So this is where I was talking about kind of those pros and cons and the double-edged sword that is progress. Super exciting that over-the-counter naloxone or Narcan is available. We encourage anyone who's willing and able to pay $45 to go access this in the pharmacy. There is still a naloxone bulk fund through the Colorado Department of Public Health that we access, as do other organizations, to receive free Narcan. However, with the expansion of over-the-counter, we are likely to see that fade. There was just an article out about a week ago or two now highlighting how the bulk fund where we receive our free Narcan from is starting to fade as far as the funding for that. So we've been okay throughout the year, but the state is going through a reprioritization plan, and we really can't guarantee how much longer we will be able to provide free Narcan. Straight up, you never know what's going to happen for sure. So super exciting. I hope too that, you know, if we can't provide it for free, that it'll be reduced. The cost will be reduced in the pharmacy. Super exciting that you can now just go get it from the pharmacy. But I want to make sure that anyone who wants Narcan or needs Narcan, get it while you can for free, because you never know what changes could happen politically in a week, a month, or the next 24 hours. So I want to again put a push out for all the amazing organizations that are currently giving out free Narcan: Lake County Public Health, Picken County Public Health, Garfield County Public Health at their offices in Glenwood and Rifle. Garfield County Libraries are also distribution sites. So your libraries in Carbondale, Glenwood, Newcastle, and Rifle. And a lot of medical organizations and recovery organizations have also been providing free Narcan, and you can always talk to your doctor about it. While you don't need a prescription for it anymore, if you get a prescription or a recommendation from your doctor, it's even more likely that you can get it covered by insurance. So we really want, you know, I always say I want every American medicine cabinet to have this antidote, because that's all it is. It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And you just never know where you're going to see these things come up. So it's better to be prepared. Again, High Rockies Harm Reduction is now hosting weekly services. Thursdays, we're in Aspen from 12 to 2 every week, and Snowmass at the Brush Creek Intercept Lot from 4 to 6 every week. We may adjust those hours as it starts getting dark out and cold, and we'll see what happens. But for the time being, we will be out there, and you can find our current and updated schedule at highrockiesharmreduction.com. We are also in Basalt every Friday from 12 to 2 at Mid Valley Family Practice, and in Carbondale at the 3rd Street Center every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. We're in a big mobile unit out front of these locations, so you can't miss us. But you can always call us, DM us, email us, whatever contact info you can find to confirm where we're going to be at that day. But again, we have free Narcan, free fentanyl test strips, other safe use equipment, peer support, and resource referral to other community agencies for whatever you might need. And if we don't have something you're looking for, we will work on finding it. So again, a lot of positive changes in legislation in Colorado this year, making access and the ability to use these supplies easier than ever. Another law that was passed this year makes it legal for even first responders to use expired Narcan or Naloxone up to 20 years past the expiration date. So it doesn't matter if it's expired, doesn't matter if it's been sitting in your car for 5 years, it's better to use what you have because it is very likely that it will continue to work. All right, I only got a couple minutes left here with y'all this afternoon, so I just want to quickly talk a little bit about the state of harm reduction in Colorado as a whole. Again, harm reduction and all of the programs and services I've been describing today and every day that I'm in here talking about these things, these are evidence-based programs endorsed by lots of entities like the CDC, the World Health Organization, and now are, well, we'll see. But currently, from where I'm speaking to you from in time and space, these are supported activities by the federal government as the most effective means to combat the opioid and overdose crisis that we are currently in. In 2024, some programs in Pueblo, which are some of the most affected communities in the state of Colorado, especially when we're talking about HIV, although I will say I recently looked this up, and Summit, Pickin, and Eagle counties, or maybe it's Lake counties. Either way, some of our local rural counties have some of the highest rates of new HIV in the state for rural communities. So we are definitely not immune. But Pueblo, there was a city council person who decided to put up for a vote. They voted to ban syringe access programs in the city of Pueblo. Since then, the ACLU of Colorado has gone in and determined that there is state precedent under the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment for programs to legally providing these resources. So we're always living in a politically precarious situation, but I really just want to drive home that it is safe and legal to be providing these services, and we work with all of our local entities to ensure that. Again, if you ever have any questions or want to learn more, or don't want to learn more, but just want to talk, you can always reach out to me, Maggie at HighRockiesHarmReduction.com. I do want to, of course, thank KDNK for allowing us this time. You know, any nonprofits or community members are always invited to come in and get involved. And we are having our annual Labor of Love auction on First Friday, December 6th over at Thunder River Theater Company. So invite all y'all to come out, get involved, show your support for community radio. Our next episode of Chemical World will be airing on Monday, December 9th at 4 p.m. I cannot wait to catch up with you November 11th people and see what's happening out there in the world. But thank you so much for listening and supporting community radio. And don't forget, you don't have to be sober to keep your community clean.